All right. I mentioned in the podcast that I would talk about this hold on, Rubio moment. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I said that I'd talk about silence, you know, being with people. Credit where due. Okay. I'm not going to quote his ideology, but I found this out. Rush Limbaugh was at one point referring to someone that he spoke with in the football industry. And I believe it was the NFL. And he explained that the beautiful thing about football, like the NFL's philosophy, the beautiful thing about sports, basketball, baseball, football, of course. The beautiful thing about sports is that the audience can get completely wrapped up in it, completely emotionally vested in it, without any real risk personally. The only risk, I suppose, would be like a gambling pool or something. But then that's fully voluntary and you're under full control. You're not going to lose your house if your team loses. Like I say, unless you gamble. I want to put that aside because we're in control of that. It's a place where we can get all emotional, all set up, super happy if we win, super sad if we lose, but it doesn't hurt anything in our lives. There's no real risk at all whatsoever. And so in this, it's almost like being able to get a break. I want to elaborate on that idea, and I want to talk about the need for friendship and hardihood and a quality time together, the need to jest, the need to really cut up, the need to take a break and relax, play hard, so to speak, you know, work hard, play hard. Russell Crowe, Master and Commander. Okay. He's, you know, I mean, he does all the different things that a big leader is supposed to do. You know, Russell Crowe is the great, excellent, well-rounded leader. Okay. Well, I mean, he even deals with the superstition of why the guy, you know, needed to die or whatever, you know, the young officer, or, you know, dealing with his friend, the doctor. But then the doctor was shot and it was a good chance to go collect some samples and do some exploring anyway. And just all the different things, Master and Commander. Well, one of the things that they explored in the movie was the need to joke. So, you know, they're all sitting around, you know, in the captain's mess. Okay, that's the dining room for those of you in Reed Rapids. They're sitting in the captain's mess. The officers are. And the captain, you know, asks, your question, well, I say, doctor, look at these two weevils, two little worms called weevils are crawling across the places. Which one would you choose? From the doctor, the scientist guy looks at them very carefully. The guy who played Jarvis, Vision, okay, looks at them very carefully and says, well, I would choose the one on the right, I believe it was, because it's greater in length and in width, breadth. And he says, ah, there I have you. He says, what? Well, don't you know that men in the service must choose between the lesser of two weevils? And so he's acting so serious about this, but there's nothing real to actually be opinionated about. I had a similar experience this evening at the dinner table. I was eating with some friends where we're talking about a multi-ethnic family. Well, if you watch a YouTube channel, did you see Talis? It might have been about a year ago. I did a video with this curly-haired young Taiwanese-Brazilian guy, and he might have been even speaking in Portuguese, but we were talking about how people across the world were angry at all Asian people or all Chinese people, ethnic Chinese people. Okay, I'm an English speaker, but I'm not from England. okay? So I'm from America, okay? So, you know, people of Chinese descent, because they were angry at the Chinese over this virus thing. Well, the Taiwanese are of Chinese descent, but they're probably dealing with this issue better than any other country in the world. So, well, Taiwan must be a country. So many people in China would say Taiwan's not a country. Taiwan is a country because the great, enormous, huge nation of China is at war with it. China wouldn't go to war with a non-country, would they? You know, so, all right, that's kind of beside, that's getting into Asian politics just a little bit. People get all irritated about different controversial opinions about this, right? Okay, well, I'm at the dinner table, you know, and you know, with this Brazilian Taiwanese family, and they served scallops seasoned only with salt. There was no saffron available, so you couldn't season it with anything else. They served scallops, rice. First time I ever had scallops and rice. And this delightful fried chicken, and a soup, kind of a Chinese medicinal, almost healthy soup that the father made for the first time. He loves to experiment. So, look, the culinary conversations that I have with this family around their table are very, very fascinating. But they literally got into a conversation in Portuguese. Well, it was Portuguese and Chinese going back and forth, and I'm asking them questions in English. It's really, really funny to listen. Really, it's quite entertaining. So we're sitting at the dinner table, and they're talking back and forth with the mother about the food here, and then what's that called? And then there's this potato radish thing that's not sour at all. That they're trying to figure out what it's called. And they're talking about this food cooked that way and that food cooked this way and the scallops over here. And the dad cooked excellent scallops, but he doesn't eat them. So he gave two scallop slices to his youngest son, who everyone's convinced will be a future chef one. It already kind of is. Just the kid has amazingly sophisticated taste. He loves scallops. He's only 11. What kind of an 11-year-old drools over scallops? And well, these are just so amazing. I want it. Can I have the other one? You know, because there's seven people and eight scallops. You know, so it's like that. Well, there's seven people and seven scallops, and or no, eight people, eight scallops, and dad isn't eating one. So who gets dad's? The kid that loves the scallops. So they're talking and going back and forth. And so I asked people at the table. I said, did I just listen to a 5-minute heated conversation about what the food is called? And they all chuckled. They said, yup. And I said, some families get, you know, have boring conversations about things that are not controversial at all, like politics or racism, you know, boring, non-controversial things. But this family gets into the most heated of all discussions. They talk about invigorating and energizing and highly explosively volatile, to be redundant, conversations about food. And then they all laughed and chuckled. After dinner, I thanked the man of the house, the father. I said, thank you very much for dinner. It was the most controversial and delicious meal I've ever had. And I agree with everybody. And he smiled, and that was the end of it. I'm looking forward to dinner again with the family next time. So, tell us from the video. We dine together. We eat. Cutting it up like that is important. Now, I don't want to get into the issue of taking the knee at football games. I'm not going to say it's right or wrong. I'm not going to stand in judgment over it. But when politics got involved in football, that did have a heavy price. There was and it probably will be the end of the industry, for better or worse. I'm not judging it. I'm saying that it's heavy. And maybe the problem is so big that we do have to stop joking. Or maybe the reason we're all angry with each other is because we don't want to cut up anymore. You know, we're cutting up literally instead of figuratively, so to speak. You know, I don't want to stand in judgment over it, but there is a need to joke like that. And when we lose that need, we've lost a lot. Whatever that means for us. See you tomorrow.